Washington gets down to business to raise the debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media, in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will sit down with congressional Republicans at the White House today to talk debt. This will be the first official sit-down since last month when Republicans walked out of negotiations to raise the federal debt limit in exchange for long-term deficit cuts. The Treasury Department has warned that if the debt ceiling isn't raised by August 2nd, the U.S. will default. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live with the latest. Mitchell, any progress since the last meeting?
Well, you know, last month when Republicans left the talks, it seemed any increase in tax revenue was totally off the table for them. And serious cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security were a total no-go for Democrats. Now, Republican House Majority Leader Eric Cantor says he could consider scaling back some tax breaks and loopholes. This is the kind of thing the president has been railing about, though he's quick to add that they'd have to be offset by other tax cuts. Hmm. The White House, meanwhile, seems to be indicating it's ready to talk about maybe making wealthier seniors pay more for their Medicare coverage, possibly slowing how much some government benefits rise with inflation. All told, it could amount to a grand tax increase and spending cut deal.
And we've talked a lot about what happens if there is no deal, but what happens then if there is a deal?
Well, you know, a major tax overhaul and putting together two, maybe as much as $4 trillion in spending cuts is going to take a while to play out, says economist Jan Randolph. He's at IHS Global Insight in London.
But really, there's no time left to do this. So there needs to be a short-term fix to raise the debt ceiling with a commitment both on taxes, raising them, and cutting expenditure. Both need to happen.
And even if the sides seem to make progress, it still could go down to the wire as politicians play for votes. Closer it gets to August 2nd, the more investors are going to be watching.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, the state of Michigan has reportedly offered an incentive package worth $50 million to Sears if the company moves its headquarters from Illinois to Michigan. And if Sears does move, it could join the ranks of companies abandoning sprawling corporate campuses in the suburbs for more urban digs. From WBEZ in Chicago, Tony Arnold reports.
Relocating whole companies from the city to the suburbs caught fire in the 80s and early 90s as corporations looked to cut overhead costs. Looking around Chicago's suburbs, you can find the corporate campuses of Kraft, Sara Lee, Motorola Solutions, and Sears Holdings, among others. They're hawking presences in their respective suburbs, drawing thousands of employees every weekday. But now the trend could be reversing itself. United Airlines is in the process of leaving its suburban location and shifting 4,000 people to offices in downtown Chicago. Out east, Swiss bank UBS is considering leaving behind its corporate campus in Stamford, Connecticut, reportedly for New York City.
I do think it's outdated.
Paul Swinand is an analyst with Morningstar. In Sears' case, he says the company's long overdue for a shakeup, and the best way to do that is recruit younger people. Ditching its current facility in Hoffman Estates could help attract 20-somethings who crave the excitement of a bustling city.
Why wouldn't you want your staff, even if they be in the finance division, to actually be seeing what people are wearing, seeing what people are buying, feeling the vibe of a downtown city?
Officially, a Sears spokesman says the company is considering all its options. The state of Illinois is working on an incentive package of its own to keep the retailer. Last year, United Airlines decided to move most of its employees from its headquarters near O'Hare Airport. Jeff Smysek is United's CEO.
Many of these jobs, certainly, for example, the technology jobs, could be located anywhere, and we chose Chicago.
But while United looks for some urban cachet, businesses around the old headquarters have a case of the suburban blues. Tony Lebowsko manages D'Agostino's auto repair service.
I got people that come here for 28 years since I've been here. They work for United Airlines. You know, they've been coming around, and now they're going to go downtown. They're not going to come to me anymore.
Lebowsko says United may be moving downtown to grow, but without that traffic from its employees in Elk Grove Village, he may be facing layoffs. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning. The European Central Bank is expected today to join the Chinese Central Bank in raising interest rates on borrowing. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 56 points to finish the day at 12,626.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
If you've been watching CNN's HLN network recently, it's been a whole lot of this.
The Casey Anthony Trial. Get full coverage every day on HLN.
The Casey Anthony Trial has been attracting unprecedented viewership to the channel, but now that the case is coming to a close, what will HLN do? Sally Herships has that story.
If it bleeds, it leads is cliche, but it's working for HLN. When the network broadcast the verdict in the Casey Anthony trial yesterday, it drew 2.5 million viewers.
The question now will be, how do you keep those viewers there?
Tom Umstead is programming editor at Multichannel News.
With the ebb and flow of the news comes the ebb and flow, unfortunately, of the viewers.
Umstead says HLN used the murder case to show viewers it can cover trials much more thoroughly than other networks. But now there's not much more to cover.
I really don't see how they're going to be able to hold on to this.
Syracuse professor Roy Gutterman has been following the Anthony case. He says networks that devote gavel-to-gavel coverage of criminal trials are at the whim of the news cycle. HLN will no doubt now lose viewers and maybe advertisers too.
I think that's the risk of advertising on a news network. You can't always have news happen.
So Gutterman says HLN should scour court dockets for the next big case. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally to California, where lawmakers recently passed their first on-time budget in 5 years, and perhaps because they're now at a loss of things to do, they've passed SB 946. That's a bill that, among other things, defines a hot dog. The bill says a hot dog is a whole, cured, cooked sausage that is skinless or stuffed in a casing and may be served on a bun or roll. California, by the way, already defines a beverage as a liquid for drinking, including water. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
High school kids and parents thereof, listen up. You ever wanted to work for the CIA, the FBI, maybe?
Those students need to be aware that if you want to make more money, then you have to have the type of lifestyle that will allow you to get a clearance.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Security Clearance 101, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.